Good morning. The shiur is dedicated today as a spus for Refuah Shleima for Sarah Leah Bat Rachel. Sarah Leah Bat Rachel. With a name like that, she should certainly have a Refuah Shleima. Three of the four imahos. Sara Leah Bat Rachel. The Imoizon Zainan Melitsi Yoshef for her. Just one other thing. I, in Yetz Hashem, I'm going to be here next week. I'm going to be teaching next week. I don't know yet what's going to happen with Rabbi Adler's class. Now, I'm going to have to look at my calendar, but I think the week following, I'm also going to be away. So I'm not sure yet, but we may turn that into a major week of, what do you call it in college, a reading week. But anyway, next week, Yirat Hashem, I'm here. All right. So here it is, we're beginning the fifth of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Parshas Devarim. Parshas Devarim is always the Shabbos that precedes Tisha B'Av. Shabbos Devarim is not known as Shabbos Devarim. It is always known as Shabbos Chazon, because the Haftarah of Devarim is Chazon Yishayahu Ben Amos, the vision of Yishayahu, which talks, of course, about the sins of Yerushalayim. But it ends up, of course, with the Pasuk Tzion, B'mishpati Padeh B'shoveho B'tzidokah. Tzion will be redeemed through justice. And that's what we look forward to. All right, the first problem that we encounter as we begin Parshas Devarim and Sefer Devarim. And the Mefarshim deal with this at great length. Things are out of order. Chronology of events is cast to the winds. The question is best expressed by the Abarbanel. That's number two. If Moshe Rabbeinu's intent was that he was going to admonish and rebuke the Jewish people for the sins that they committed during the 40 years of the Midbar, big question. The first of the great sins of the desert was the golden calf. We're not going to get to the golden calf until Parshat Ekev. Dvarim, Veschanon, Ekev. All sorts of other misdeeds, misconduct of the Jewish people will be mentioned in Veschanon and mainly in Ekev. And do you know what it is that takes up a significant part of Parshas Dvarim? The last sin, which was Chet HaEgel. So the moment the Abarbanel doesn't understand what's happening over here. Lomelo hitchil b'miasa HaEgel, why doesn't he begin with the golden calf? Shehi hachet harishon was the first sin. V'chinoga av hanefesh, that was a sin that afflicted the very soul of the Jewish people. Vein lomar sheshachachu, don't tell me that he forgot about the Chet HaEgel. Ki hinei b'parshat Ekev. Later on, in Bamidbar, in Devarim, in Parshat Ekev, Hevio beheaded the Sikuro, and he describes the sin of the golden calf at length. So he asks him, "Came Lama Hevidi Shona Chet HaMeraglim? Why does he bring the Chet HaMeraglim first, which was last in time? And at the end, he brings the Chet HaEgel, which was the first sin." And then he goes on to list other sins that took place before the sin of the Egel, and they're going to be listed much later. In sum, the question that the Abarbanel is asking, certainly the parshios of Dvarim, Egev, and Vaitchanan do not follow in chronological order. And there has to be a good reason for that. I'm not going to go into his answer. I'm just going to build up to my own answer today. My own answer. That's one problem. In general, is there any order or structure to all of Sefer Devarim? Or is it sort of haphazard? Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, and he talks about this, and he talks about that. Is there any kind of an internal structure to Sefer Devarim? Certainly, for those of us, we live in modern times, it's extremely important that we should be able to answer these two questions. The question of why Chet HaEgel comes first, and why is there any kind of structure in Sefer Devarim, or is it, God forbid, haphazard? Because that, of course, would give an opening to those who feel that Sefer Devarim is anyway a patchwork of all sorts of different sources that were put together, and they don't reflect really the word of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have to make sure that we deal with that and deal with it properly. So, in terms of the general structure of Sefer Devarim, I want you to look at number 3, the Ksav HaKabbalah. Ela HaDvarim. Now, you should know, Ki Chameshes HaPsukim HaRushonim Heim HaKdamah Shel Kol HaSefer. If you thought that there was anything haphazard about Sefer Devarim, then you should know that the first 5 Psukim are the introduction to the Sefer. And in that introduction to the Sefer, we are going to be told how the body of the Sefer was written, what order it followed, what are the sections and the divisions and the parts, and how each one follows the other. And he said, it's very beautiful what he says. You'll see. Ela dvarim zayin yishinot yichamesh etzuk v'nishonot, the first 5 psukim heim hakdoma shel kol ha-sefer, they are the introduction to the whole Sefer. V'yesh behem shlosha pa'amim, 3 times it says lishon diburo shel Moshe. In these 5 psukim, 3 times we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. First is Hashem dibe Moshe, the second is dibe Moshe b'nei Yisrael, and then hoil Moshe be'er. Let's read those psukim. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Israel. First time that we talk about Moshe speaking, Diber Moshe. Where did he say it, these words to them? On the other side of the Jordan, in the desert, Ba'arava, in the plain, Mol Suf, Ben Poron, Ben Tothel, the Lavan, the Chatzedos, the Dizahav. The names of all of those places are not something we can go into now. Rashi does a very beautiful job on it. But this is, as Jews are in camp, on the other side, the west, the east bank of the Jordan, and they are poised, ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Acharasa Yom Echorev, it was 11 days from Chorev, Derech Har Seir HaKadosh Barnea. From Chorev Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, which is the beginning of the land of Edom, was a total of 11 days journey. And it took them 40 years to make that journey. By Yehiva Arboim Shona. I think that pasuk is very important as well. If he is beginning to admonish the people, he is telling them, take a look at this, a journey that could have and should have taken no more than 11 days, has taken us 40 years. By Yehiva Arboim Shona came to pass in the 40th year, Bashtei also Chodesh, in the 11th month, in the month of Shvat Bechor LaChodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat that Moshe begins to speak to the Jewish people. Diber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, Moshe spoke to the children of Israel. Zum zweiten Mal, for the second time it says Diber Moshe. Kechol Asher Tzivah Hashem El Tolayim, everything that God commanded him to say to them. And when does he speak to them? At this moment in time, what has happened historically? Acharei HaKoto Et Sichon Melech Amori, after he struck down Sichon, the king of the Amori, Asher Yoshev B'Chezbon, who lives in Chezbon, that O Melech HaBosan, O king of the Bosan, Asher Yoshev B'Ashtarot B'Edrei, Sichon was the southern part of the east bank, and Og was, of course, the Golan Babashan in the northern part of the east bank. And Rashi explains, Moshe Rabbeinu has a lot of credit built up with the Jewish people. He has just taken them through two unbelievably successful military campaigns. They have vanquished two superpowers of the day. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu gets up to speak, he has a tremendous amount of credit by the Jewish people. They're ready to listen to him. Be'er Hagarim, Be'eretz Moab, on the other side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Ho'il Moshe Be'er Esatora Hazot Lemor. On the other side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began explaining this Torah. Ho'il Moshe Be'er Esatora is the third time in these five psukim in which it expresses that Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people. So now we go back to the Tzaba Kabbalah, who says that the first five Sukkim of Sefer Devarim are the introduction to Sefer Devarim. And what is it that they have to say to us about all of Sefer Devarim? The fact that it mentions Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, not once, not twice, but three times. Tiyesh b'Sefer Zeh Gimel Chalakim. All of Sefer Bamidbar is divided into three parts. Chelek Ha'alef. The first section of the Sefer is Mitzilat HaSefer, from the beginning of the Sefer, Ad Vayikra Shekodem Aseres HaDibros. In Parashat Berchana, next week's Sefer, we're going to have the Ten Commandments in Berchana. That Parashat begins with the word Vayikra, and Moshe called to them. That's important. That's the whole first section. Is section one is Parshas Devarim, and about half or three quarters of Parshas Vayeschanan until the Aseret HaDibros. And in all this whole first section, he admonishes, he rebukes, he gives Musa to the Jewish people. Chelek HaBet, the second section of Sefer Devarim, begins with the Ten Commandments. And you know what the Ten Commandments introduce? That section of Sefer Devarim in which Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching them Torah again. Until all the way till Ki Tavo, before the Tokach over there, and in all of those parshios from Efer, Veschanon, Ekev, Re'ei, Shoftim, Ki Teitzei, and part of Kitavo, it talks about the mitzvahs. Lacheno Masham Tchila, that's why when it begins it says, Eloh Ha'idus V'achukim, these are the testimonies and the statutes that God is talking. Shehu Iyan Echad, in Mashakos of Akrov, Vayikra Moshe, and that's all part of the parasha where it says, Vayikra Moshe, Moshe called. And that's important, the word Vayikra is very important. Chelet HaGimel, the third part is, from the Tokach in Parashat Ki Tavo until the end of Sefer Devarim. And you know what? At Sofa Torah, from the Brachos and Klalos, the blessings of the persons until the end of Torah, and there it says, before the Brachot, it says, Ba'er Heitev. The same term that it says here at the beginning of the Sefer. It says there, Ba'ed Heitav, he's explained clearly. And then it says, Vayitav Moshe, V'hidvonen. Here comes the real beauty of all of this. Aside from the fact that we have now said that there is order There are three distinct parts to Sefer Devarim. The first part is words of Musa, of admonishing, of rebuke, of teaching ethical ideas. The second half, the mitzvahs. Third is brachos or klolos unto the end of Torah. So he says, "Kibbonim, think about it. Ki hatcholas shlosha chelkei sefer zeh." The three parts of this, the beginning of the three parts of this sefer. The first part begins with Eila hatvogim, first pasuk, right? The second begins with Vayikra Moshe, and Moshe called. The third is going to begin with the words Ba'er Heitem Vayedaber Moshe. So he says, "Hidvonei ki acholas posa chelkei sefer zeh." The beginning of the third of the three parts of this sefer are precisely the same as the beginning of the three sforim that precede Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar. Eileh is the beginning of Shmos. Eileh Shmos b'nei Yisroel. These are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Vayikra begins Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. God called to Moshe. How does Bamidbar begin? Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe. The Aaron telling them that they should count the Jewish people. So he says, by using the same words to begin the three parts of the Sefer Devarim that clearly delineates and divides them one from another. There's structure to the Sefer. It's not haphazard. But we still have a question that we're going to have to answer. Why does Parshas Devarim deal with the sin of the Meraglim when it should have begun with the sin of the Yehuda? Let's finish the Ksava Kabbalah. The Zeh Shom of the Medrash, and that's what the Medrash means when the Medrash says, Vayikra hu mole halachos. Listen to what the Medrash says. Vayikra is full of laws. Ukinegdo devarim nami mole halachos. And corresponding to Vayikra, devarim also is full of halachos. Ah, but it's not full of halachos. So the Ksava Kabbalah is saying that section of Sefer Devarim that begins with the word Vayikra, just as Vayikra begins, which is the second part of Sefer Devarim, that is full of halacha. Kloma, oto chelek shel Sefer Devarim shu keneged Sefer Vayikra, that section of Sefer Devarim that corresponds to Sefer Vayikra. Sheshon hamedubar min hamitzus to Sefer Vayikra, we're talking about the mitzus, is malei halachos, it's full of halacha. By the way, this is the Gaon Mivilna. This is the Gaon Mivilna. So now the Ksava Kabbalah is writing about this. Vihi ha'orom niflo'o v'nacholio. This is really an amazing comment, and it's very correct. You know, the Vilna Gaon says something brilliant, and you know, we need to say, yep, Vilna Gaon, you are absolutely right. Ulechinam nidchuku amaforshim lechaber hei apsukim ha'elu le'inyan echad. And it was for naught that the Meforshim all tried to understand the connection between these first five psukim and what their connection is to the second, the rest of the Sefer. Umehem yakiro sonimikohom yoshiu v'so Sefer HaKodem. There are even those who say that these first five psukim are really the end of Sefer Bamidbar. They uproot them from the place where Emes Yoreh Darko, the truth tells us, She'enum rak hagdama l'shvoshes chelkei Sefer HaZeh. These first five psukim are the introduction to the three separate and distinct parts of Sefer Devarim that begin with the words Eileh, Vayikra, Vayedaber, which are the beginnings of Sefer Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Yes. Yes, he definitely does. He definitely does. That doesn't. Each one of the
places, Rashi says that each one of the places that's mentioned in the first pasuk deals about another sin that was committed in a different place. But that's not going to help us in terms of the real text. The text of this Sedra, the first head of the Sedra, is the Chet of the Meraglim. And that's what the Meforshim are concerned about. The Rimozim that are given by Rashi will not answer that question. But wait. Give me an opportunity to say something over here. Alright, now that we have one thing taken care of, there is order, there is structure to Sefer Devarim. And what we have to answer is, if there's order and there is structure, why doesn't it follow in chronological order? So now, let's turn over. I know I'm leaving the Orach Chaim there. You don't know what it means putting together these source sheets. Not everything fits where I want it to fit. Understand? So therefore I have to put Rishon, Achron, and Achron, Rishon. It's out of chronological order. Well, there's order to it also. Number five. And I'm learning number five only because I want to get to one pasuk, and that one pasuk is the one that I want to focus on. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them the story of what took place in the desert. For Umar Aleichem, and I said to you, Batem et Har HaAmori, we have come to the mountain of the Amori, Asher Hashem Elokeinu Notein Lanu, that God our God gives us. Hey, Natan Hashem Elokecha Lefanecha et Haaretz. See, God has given before you the land. Alei Reish. Go up and possess. Go up and possess. Now what's interesting, and don't think I forget. This is one of the psukim, and there'll be another one right away, from which the Ramban that we started learning last week proves that there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. This is one of the psukim. And we will get to that Ramban yet. Alei Reish, go up and inherit. Kashet Yibed Hashem, as God has spoken. Elokei Avasech Alok, the God of your fathers to you. Al Tiravi, Al Teichas, do not fear. And do not be broken by them. Vatikiru Neilai Kuchen, and all of you drew close to me, Vatomru, and you said, Nishlecha Anashim Lefaneinu, let us send people before us. The Yachru Lono et Haaretz, and let them spy out the land. Now you see there are different words used here. This is the second story of the Meraglim. In the first story of the Meraglim, it begins with God telling Moshe, Shlach Lecha Anashim, send people. Over here it seems that the story is taking a different twist. That the initiative came not from God, the initiative came from the Jewish people. And there's reason why in each place it's written the way it is. The fact is that the initiative came from the people. But in order that we should be able to judge the people objectively, the Torah there writes that God acquiesced. The Shlach Lecha Anashim, sending people to spy out the land, doesn't mean that God initiated it, but that God gave his approval. And we don't have to know what happened before. There will be time yet. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that the whole story, you know, you don't always get the whole story in one time. Sometimes you have to wait until the time is right for all the information to be said. So you all came over and you said, let's send people before us. The Yachru Lono et Haaretz, there in Parashat Shlach, it was described as tourists. The Yoturu Lono et Haaretz. Over here, the Yachru. The Yachru really means to spy out, to dig for information. Lachpor, to dig for information. The Yoshivu Otanu Dovar, and bring us back word. Et Haderech Hashem Nalabo, the road that we should go up to her, that Ha'orim Hashem Nalabo Aleyen, and the cities that we should come to. Vayitav Ve'enai HaDovar, it was good in my eyes. Vayitach Mikem Shneimos HaNosim, I took 12 men, Ish Echad LaShodet, one man from each tribe. Vayitav, and they turned. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, Vayichnu, Vayalu Hahara, and they went up to the mountain, Vayavo, and Nachal Eshkol, they came to the wadi or the river of Eshkol, Vayiraglu Ota, and they spied it out. And of course, the word Vayiraglu means that, you know, they walked. They walked. The best way to learn a city is just walk through the city. Vayiraglu Ota. Alright, now the pasuk that we have to deal with is Vayikru b'yadam mipri ha'aretz, and they took in their hands the fruit of the land. Vayoridu eleinu, they took in their hands the fruit of the land and brought it down to us. Vayoshibu otanu davar, and they brought back word. Vayamru, and they said, Tova ha'aretz, Asher Hashem Elokeinu notein lanu, good is the land that God, our God, gave to us. What a pasuk. So let's begin with the simplest problem that this pasuk presents us with. Was that the report of the miraculum? Did the miraculum come back and say, told the hornets, good is the land that God our God gives us? No. And in the next pasuk it says, V'lo avitem lalot, you didn't want to go up. You didn't wish to ascend. V'atamu l'pi Hashem l'kekem, and you rebelled against the word of Hashem your God. That's going on over there. I mean, it's very clear from the pasuk. V'yitku v'yodam ipri haaretz. It would seem very clear at first glance that this is the report of 12 meraglim. Tova haaretz Hashem Hashem l'kekem notei manu. Tova haaretz. Rashi obviously is troubled by that immediately. Tova haaretz Hashem Hashem l'kekem notei manu. But that wasn't true. It's simply, if we read the pasuk as it would seem at first glance, it's just not true. So of course what sends me, of course, is the Rashi. Rashi number 625, Vayoridu Eleinu, and brought it down to us. Matthew, this comes to tell me, Sheretz Yisrael Gevorah Mikol Ha'aretzot. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. This is not the first shiur I've given on the idea of Eretz Yisrael Gevorah Mikol Ha'aretzot, because Rashi mentions it a number of times in Torah, and we're going to deal with this one mainly, and then a number of others. What's Rashi telling me? First of all, why does Rashi have to tell me this? Rashi has already told us that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. He told it to us in Parshat Vayigash. And if you want to, you can take a look at number 8. If you don't believe me, it's right there in number 8 at the bottom of the page. That's Yosef speaking to his brothers when he reveals himself to them. That great, most dramatic moment in all of Tanakh, maybe in all of literature. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and he says, Va'apa, lo atem shalakta oti hena, you're not the ones who sent me here. Ki ha'elokim, God sent me here. Va'yisimeni lo'av le'paro, and he's made me a father to Paro. Odom l'chol beito, a master of his whole house. U'moshe l'mon, who rules b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. That's why I become part on the great success story of the Middle East. Ma'adu va'alu el'avei. Hurry and go up to my father and tell him my great success over here. And tell him to come down to me. Va'alu elavi, Rashi, right there. Eretz Yisrael gevorah mikol ha'aretzot. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. That's the first time Rashi says it in Torah. Our pasuk here is not the second time. The second time I didn't write here. It's in Parshas Ki Tisa. Re'ei, Moshe says to God, Re'ei ata omer Eli, you tell me, Ha'al et ha'amazeh, bring this people up to the land. Eretz Yisrael gevorah mikol ha'aretzot. Okay? And it's as low as iron and all that. So that's one in Vayigash, one in Kitisa, a third one over here, Vayoridu Eleinu. There's going to be a fourth one in Torah, and that's number 7 in Harzinu. It says, Yarkiveyu al Bomatoi Ores. God is going to cause the Jewish people to ride over the heights of the land. Vayokal Tuvat Sadai, Vayinikel Tvashmi Selavishan Michal Yitzur. He would have him ride on the heights of the earth, and he would eat the ripe fruits of the field. He would suckle him with honey from a stone and oil from the harvest of a rat. Yarkiveyu, Rashi says. You guessed already what Rashi says. Al Shem Sheretz Yisrael Gvoa Mikol Arotos, because Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. Now we're going back to our analysis of our pasuk. The big question that we have on the pasuk is, it does not reflect the truth. What do you mean doesn't seem to say the truth? The Meraglim come back and they say Tova Haaretz, great land. So there's a second Rashi on that pasuk. By Yomru, and they said Tova Haaretz. Rashi knows, of course, that there's a problem in the pasuk, and therefore Rashi says on the second half of the pasuk, when the pasuk says by Yomru, when they said Tova Haaretz, the land is good. Nihem Shomru Tova Ta. Who are the ones that said that the land is good? Yoshua, the Kali. So Rashi is trying to take a pasuk and divide it in two. To divide it in two. In other words, the first part of the pasuk obviously is talking about the Meraglim. It's the second part of the pasuk that's talking about Yoshua and Kali. The Vayomu, when they said, does not refer to the 10, it only refers to the 2, Yoshua and Kali. And remember, don't lose sight of the fact that we do have the problem of why does Rashi have to tell us again, Eretz Yisrael, Gevoa Mikol Arotzos? He's already told them to us once, twice, Hazinu, yeah? By the way, Rashi says it again in Yeshayahu, chapter 30. Hoy hayordin mitzchayma, woe to those who go down to Egypt and negotiate with Egypt and ask for help from Egypt. Mitzchayim Odom v'lo El. Mitzchayim is man, not God. Lo le'ezer v'lo le'hoel. Don't waste the time. They can't help you and they can't benefit you. And remember one thing, the words of the Nevi'im are eternal. Alright. So why does Rashi have to tell me that Eretz Yisrael Gevoa Mikol Haaretzot? So one of the ways to analyze this Rashi, so that is to be a very beautiful Orach Chaim, the one that I didn't find place for, but it's on the first side. But his analysis of the Rashi is beautiful, and therefore he's going to give us more insights into this pasuk. By Yikhu B'yodam, Sorach Wadad. In this pasuk, we have to know the following: Loma Hutrach Loma by Yikhu B'yodam. Alright? It's a very good question. And they took in their hands. Where did they took? They took in their feet? How did they took and what did they took? Most people, I say all people, when they take the other. What would have been wrong if the pasuk would have said, Vayikhu mipri haaretz? Vayikhu mipri haaretz? I don't need the word the other. So, Hayatzarach Loma, and Vayikhu the other, so Hayatzarach Loma, Ella, Vayoridu Eleinu mipri haaretz. All they had to say was that they brought down to us from the fruit of the land. The truth is, you didn't need the Vayikhu B'yodam. Both words you didn't need. They took in their hands. You could simply have said, and they brought down to us from the fruit of the land. Beis. Lama Oma Vayoshivu Altonu Dova Vayomru. Second half of the pasuk says, they brought us back word, and they said. You didn't have to say so many words. You could have simply said, Vayoshivu Altonu. Vayoshivu Altonu.
Tova Horetz. Asher Hashem Noten Lanu. What did you have to have? Vayashivu Otanu Dabar Vayoru. The pasuk, we could have eliminated 3-4 words from the pasuk. Because when the Or HaChaim would have read it, it would have said, Vayikru Mitri Ha'oretz Vayovidu Eleinu Vayoru Tova Ha'oretz. You didn't need the B'yadam. You didn't need Vayashivu Otanu Dabar. So therefore, going back to the Archon, he says, okay, now Kabbana, the intent of him is the following. There were two groups. There were two groups. Achas Ro'on, he Tzuvas, Asar Meraglim. One group was bad, they're the ten. The Achas Tova, one is good, and that's the answer of Yeshua and Kalev. Ubidvorach Kam, in this one passage, what has been meshed together, weaved together in one pasuk are the two responses. Keneged Masha Hishivu Asora Hamoshim Odeshoim, corresponding to what the ten evil people said, Oma Vayikru Biyodom Vayoshivu Tanodava Peirush. Lo Rotzo Moshe Olav Hashalom. Moshe did not want to repeat the evil words of the Meraglim. That we need yet in the 9 days. In the 9 days when we are supposed to be working on correcting the sin of the Meraglim. And we have a great deal of correction to do. A great deal of correction. When you have a significant part of our leadership that looks at Eretz Yisrael as real estate, you can give Azatah those killers, you can give Yudav Shomron to the other killers. We have a burden, the Golan, give it to Yener Choshenuhush. It's unbelievable. Divesting ourselves of parts of Eretz Yisrael to people who we know beyond any shadow of a doubt are sworn enemies and will only use those areas as bases against us. Boy, do we have to be mistaken the Chetan HaGadol. Unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even want to utter the ugly words of the Meraglim again. So therefore he hides them within the pasuk. How does he do that? So he says, Lo rotza Moshe, Olo Hashalom, Lagzat HaDvorim HaRoyim, Shelo Lo'ore HaDin, Al Shekhra Mesu. They are already the Meraglim summing up an Olam Ha'emes. He doesn't want to arouse punishment and justice against them. And therefore he simply said, Hey, Shivu Dabba, they responded. They brought back how are you supposed to know that that's talking about the ten? Simple. Because it says, Vayikru B'yodam. That's why the Pasuk said the Vayikru B'yodam that was otherwise unnecessary. Because the Gemara says, who are the ones that brought the fruit to their hands? Who brought it? Moshe, Yehoshua and Kaleb didn't bring anything back. The ten, and he brings the Gemara and Sota, and to arouse you to the fact, Shalasorah Meraglim, that he's saying it about the ten Meraglim, it says, Vayikru B'yodam. Peirush, Al Derech Omam Zalas, the Gemara says in Sota, 8 Meraglim brought the symbol of the Misrad HaTayarut. 8 Meraglim brought that those grapes, you know. Yeah. Needed 8. The Gemara describes how the 8 walked with it. And then, Echad Not Al Teina, one brought the figs, the Echad Not Al Teina, and one brought a pomegranate. Abel Yoshua, the Kolev, will not look long. Yoshua and Kolev didn't take a thing. Kolev is a thing, as the Gemara says. So the moment that the pasuk begins by saying, Vayikru B'yodam, you know exactly who you're talking about. There can be no doubt whatsoever. That's why it says in took their hand, Loma. Shehem Asoro, those are the ten. Shalokhu B'yodam, he pre-ordered to took in their hands the fruit of the land. Vayoshivu otanu tovar, ma shehishivu. And they brought us back word. But the pasuk didn't say what they said. Mufashtecha, you know? They, the one who brought back the truth, Heshivu, they responded as they responded. And here he says something so fascinating. So fascinating. Back in Pashat Shlach, when the Meraglim came back, it says, Vayoshivu otamu dovar, the same words as in this pasuk. The same words. So he says, you know what? I'm going to learn a Gzeir Shav. You know what a Gzeir Shav is? A Gzeir Shav is one of the 13 hermeneutic principles by which we learn laws of Torah. You have a word here and a word there. Similar words. What's true here is true there. Of course, the Gemara says, you know, that a Gzeir Shav, you can't make them up yourself. It has to be something that was said at Sinai. Because if you're going to be able to learn a Gzeir Shava on your own, you can make a Churban. I once said, you know, it says the word S by Pesach, and it says the word S by Yom Kippur. Just like you're supposed to S on Pesach, you should S on Yom Kippur. And Father Kanesik, you know, we did with that Gzeir Shava, but you destroy Torah. So Gzeir Shavah can only be learned when it comes from Sinai. But the Arachayim is telling us, and you have to see how he says it, that when it's a matter of understanding the meaning of a pasuk, not a halacha, to reveal the meaning of a pasuk, you can learn Gzeir Shavah. Because there, a person can learn it on his own. And by the way, it's very true, we do it all the time. If a certain phrase is used in one place and the same phrase is used elsewhere, that means there's a relation between them. But watch this. So he says, Gam Eshavada and Zeri Shavah, you can learn it, Zeri Shavah. Dabar means Dabar. Amar, the word Dabar, from the word Dabar, that it says in Parsha Shvatik Sin, Vayoshivu Atam Dabar, they brought back word. The Hakam Shein, Odom Don, Zeri Shavah, Ellen Cain, Kidlom Erabo. Even though a person cannot learn a Gzeir Shavah on his own unless he received this in the Rebbe, the Kiyotzim says something like this, L'galot shateyak tuvim, to reveal the simple meaning of Pesukim, Hodiun Rabotein, our rabbis have told us, Sheyecholah L'galos B'Gzeir Shavah Kazot. You can use a Gzeir Shavah in order to reveal the meaning of a pasuk when it does not have anything to do with halacha. V'zeh, now watch what he says. V'zeh poshet laholchim ba'or hachayim. That's simple to understand by those who go in the light of the living. He introduced the name of his sefer in here. V'zeh poshet laholchim ba'or hachayim. If you're going to go in the way of the or hachayim, Habibi, you'll know that this is correct. So therefore, Vayikru b'yodam mikri ha'aretz. Vayoshivu otamu davar, without saying a word of what they said. You don't have to say a word. And you know already that it's the ten. Because it said vayikru b'yodam. They took the hints. They're the only ones who brought anything back. And it says vayoshivu otamu davar. And it says vayoshivu otamu davar in... So it's clear that the first half of the pasuk is the Meraglim, the bad guys. And therefore, Ukineged Yoshua the Kalev, Omar Vayomru, the end of the pasuk where it says clearly, and they said, Tova Horet, the land is good, that's Yoshua and Kalev. Ukifize Yeshtam Nochon La Kefel. That's why what's repeated seemingly unnecessary in the pasuk, because remember, the pasuk says, they brought back a report, Vayomru. What did you mean, Vayoshivu Otamu Davar and Vayomru? You could simply have had Vayomru. Tovahar, they said the land is good. Why do we have this unnecessary word? Because there are two parts, Vayoshivu Otamu Davar with the ten. Vayomru was Yehoshua and Kalev. Gam mityashev divrei Moshe shomat zboros stumim We also have answered with this why Moshe concealed what he was saying. When you read the pasuk, it would seem that all 12 of them said Tova Haaretz. But the way we have explained it now, we have clearly differentiated between the two sides. And I'm going to take you one step further. I think we may not have needed to walk in the steps of the Or HaChaim. I think Rashi took care of it himself. What?
In the first
part,
he was very
sure. No, wait. We're at a crucial moment right now. I have to build up the tension.
Yeah.
I can't. You'll have to wait. I have to. What does Rashi say on Vayoridu? Vayoridu Eleinu? Eretz Yisrael, Gavon, Mikol HaRatzon. That's what we said. Rashi has told us this often enough. By the way, if Rashi wanted to tell us this, in the few psukim that precede this pasuk, Alei Chesh. What do you mean Alei Chesh? Go up and inherit? Lech Chesh. Why Alei Chesh? Eretz Yisrael, Gavon, Mikol HaRatzon. And what did it say before that? The pasuk before this one. Vayiknu vayalu ha-hara. Why? Where are they going? Because there is a spoke. Come on, Mikol HaRatzon. Oh, where better? Earlier. Send Mishtachar Moshe Lepaneinu Miyachar Olam Lezaharetz Yoshiva Otan Lever Et HaBerach Hashem Na'aleba. Oh, I nearly skipped it. Et HaBerach Hashem Na'aleba. We've used the word Aliyah a number of times. Why didn't Rashi stop and tell us? The Vayoridu Eleinu troubled the Eben Ezra as well. I wrote the Eben Ezra on the side. A very short Eben Ezra. Vayoridu Ba'avur Gova Ha'etz. Because of the height of the tree. For her MS, and the truth is, Ba'avur Hayotam Ba'Negev, because they were in the Negev. He's troubled by the word Vayoridu. Because the simplest thing would have been to say, and here gold is using a gazetted shovel. Where's my pen? Oh, I'm going to use a gazetted shovel. In the parasha of the Megatlum, it says, Vayovitu. They brought the fruit to us. Vayovitu. And here it says Vayovitu. It says Vayovitu. So why does it say Vayovitu? So the evidence is two pshat. One pshat is they went up on a tree and it was a tall tree. Vayovitu, Eleinu, means they brought it down from the tall tree. Then he says a second pshat, and he says the second pshat, that's the real pshat. They were in the Negev. They were in the Negev. In order to come down to Midbar Sinai, going from north to south, you go down. And the Eben Ezra says, that's the real pshat. Why doesn't the Eben Ezra accept the pshat? Because the tree wasn't tall. And they brought it down from the tree. You know why? Because the Torah never tells us anything as unnecessary as that. Torah says, "Vayashkim Avram baboker," and Moshe and Avram got up in the morning. Does the Torah tell us that he washed Nebu Masah? He said Birchas Hashachar. It maybe tell us what he ate for breakfast before he left out, went out on his way to the Akeda. Vayashkim Avram baboker. Torah doesn't tell us anything unnecessary. Over here, the Torah would have been telling us, you know, they climbed the tree, and it was a tall tree. We don't care what the tree was. All that's necessary is that they brought the fruit to us to show us the fruit of the land. So therefore, on second thought, and it didn't take the Eben Ezra more than two words to come to the second thought, that the truth is, Ba'avur Hayotam Ba'Negev, because they were in the Negev, and they now have to come down to Midbar Sinai, you go down. You go down to Miami. What did I use that example? You go down to Eilat, and you go up to Metula. Now, by the way,
if that's the pshat, why doesn't Rashi accept on any one of these pshat? Because Rashi holds that if it's talking about them coming from the north, from the north to the south, it should have said Vayeridu Eilenu. That's simple Hebrew. A 5-year-old, a 3-year-old would know that. Vayeridu, they came down to us. If the word is talking about the Meraglim, or the other pshat we have another that is talking about the tree we've rejected completely, because the other Ezra rejected them too, and it's talking about the Meraglim, we should have said, and they came down to us, which would have been in Hebrew, Vayeridu. Rashi is brilliant. What was the problem with the whole pasuk? The problem with the whole pasuk, it doesn't tell us what the Meraglim said. What the bad people said is not in the pasuk. Rashi, is he brilliant? Vayoridu Eilenu, you know what Vayoridu is talking about? Not about the Meraglim, not about the tree, not about north to south. It's talking about Eretz Yisrael. They brought the land down in our eyes. Hishpilu! That was the report. That's why Rashi here has to tell us Eretz Yisrael Gavoa Mikol Arotzos. Because Rashi is talking about the Kedusha, the sanctity, the holiness, the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. You know what it means according to Rashi's chart? Rashi, the words, the report of the Meraglim is right in the pasuk. They brought the land down. Hishpilu. What's a good word in English for hishpilu? They degraded. Brought it down. This is far, far different than all the other places that Rashi brought Eretz Yisrael Gavon Mikol Aratzot. You know what Rashi has done in one brilliant stroke? We do have both reports in the pasuk. Vayikru b'yodom ipri haaretz vayoridu eleinu. They brought the fruit and their purpose was to bring the land down. Shame it! Embarrass it! That's what they did. Now you have a pasuk. I'm saying that Rashi is going beyond the Orachayim, and in other words, the Orachayim can be used as an addendum to Rashi, but Rashi knew what was wrong in the pasuk, that there was no report, and that's why the second Rashi says, you have to notice this, I didn't notice it till now either, you know, you people always inspire me. I see those eager faces and I'm inspired. What does Rashi say on the second? Vayomru Tova Haaretz, Mihem Shomru Tova, so who are the ones that said that Yoshua called? You know what Rashi's implying? Rashi's implying that the Meraglim, what they said was also in the pasuk. There were others who didn't say the Tova, and Rashi doesn't have to spell it out, because I said it already. Vayomru Tova Haaretz. That's what they did. That's what they did. Yosef. Number 8. Yosef. Of course, Yosef is the one that my investigation of the of Rashi saying Eretz Yisrael Gavon Mikol Aratzot started at least 35 or 40 years ago, Parashat Vayigash. I remember how it started. That's the question you asked me? Bella? I can't see. Are you responding to me? Am I embarrassing you? I think we were on a flight to Pittsburgh, and somebody was learning Parashat Hashavuot, Parashat Vayigash. I was going to be in Sadi Kedushin, wedding in Pittsburgh, the beginning of Parshas Vayigash. What's the whole beginning of Parshas Vayigash?
Yehuda stands up there before this fellow Tzafnas Panayat and says, we came down here in order to buy provisions. And then we went up to our father and we came down again. And you told us, bring down your little brother. And we went up and we brought him down. I'm not exaggerating. Everything that Yehuda is talking about over there is up, down, up, down. Rashi makes no comment that Eretz Yisrael gone on in Kol HaRatzon. By the way, it was my wife's question. By the way, the question is even stronger. Where's the first time in Torah that it says the term Yelidah with regard to leaving Eretz Yisrael and Aliyah with regard to arriving in Eretz Yisrael? In Parashat Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't say he came up. But it doesn't say he came up. Lech Lecha me'artzeh me'lalcha me'zeliha, and he comes. Vayihav, there was a famine in the land. Vayeded Avraham Mitzchayma. Avraham went down to Mitzchayim. And when it's all over in the house of Paro, it says he went up. Rashi on Vayeded Avraham Mitzchayma should have immediately commented and said, Eretz Yisrael Gavala Vikol HaRatzol. And from that moment on and further, you'll know wherever in Torah you have up, down, with regard to Eretz Yisrael, chances are it's because Eretz Yisrael is Gavala Vikol HaRatzol. Why didn't Rashi do that? Why didn't Rashi do that? So I have a whole sheet, and there are many proofs to that, but I'm going to go into it. I hold that Rashi will withhold comment when a comment is necessary. He will withhold and he will wait for the most poignant, powerful, and meaningful place at which to make the comment. The brothers are standing before Tzafnat Paneach, who has revealed himself as Yosef. Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef. Who is this fellow, and how has he just described himself? Lo atem shalachtem oti hena ki elokim. God sent me here. I am a father to Paro, the master of his whole house, the ruler of all of Egypt. Do you know what we're talking about? The biggest Yoreid success story in all of history. Yosef is not driving the cab in Cairo. Yosef is the greatest success story of all. And what does he say in the next passage? Maharu ha'alu el avi, hurry and go up to my father. If he's in such a big hurry, you know what he should have said? Maharu el avi, hurry to my father. Who needed the word ve'alu? Hurry to my father. Why does he say ve'alu? Because it's in Yosef's neshama. He can't help it. For him, Eretz Yisrael is Gevara Mikol HaRatzos. All of the pomp and all of the circumstances and all of the power is garnished. He wants more than anything else to be in Eretz Yisrael, as Gevara says. Medrash says, Yosef was an opaid at Eretz Yisrael. And that's why he says to his brothers, Poko Yifkor Hashem Otim Etchem, God will remember it. Remember you, Ma'alitim at small time, you shall take my bones up from here. Now, don't make a mistake. There are many times where Aliyah is because of north and south, and a number of other reasons. It has to be at a point where it can only mean Eretz Yisrael, the one we call ourselves. And that's what Rashi points out for us. Because it's true. Going north and south can be a Yidah and Aliyah. As we said, we go down to Eilat and we go up to Metula. But where the word wasn't necessary. In our pasuk, he had to learn Pshat in Vayoridu because it couldn't mean they came down. It would have said Vayedu. It could have said Vayoviu, as it said in Parshat Shlach. Vayoridu, by the way, is always, make sure I get my grammar right, a transitive verb. It has to apply to something. They brought something down. What in the pasuk could they have brought down? We're not talking about the fruit. We took care of the fruit already. So therefore, Rashi tells us, and that's why Rashi says, Yosef is the greatest success story of all. And he says, by the way, you may not have noticed, but in the entire negotiations between the tribe of Reuven and the tribe of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh were not involved in those negotiations. And when it's all over, we find that most of the east bank of the Jordan was given to Reuven and Gad, and the Golan and the Bashan were given to half the tribe of Manasseh. Where did they come from? Where did they come from? Meshech Chachma, Rabbi Simcha says, what Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for was a tribe that would be ready to split in half, so that they would have constant movement between the two sides. But it had to be a tribe that had Avas Eretz Yisrael. That was Manasseh, because they were the children of Yosef. Incidentally, the status of the Golan is different than the status of Eber Yadin. The Golan is really an integral part of the Galil. Look at the map and you'll see it's an integral part of the Galil. So that's why the children of Yosef, half on one side, half on the other side, but they wanted genuine, full Eretz Yisrael, which was there. So what have we accomplished? We've accomplished the following this year. Good that I started this summation. I didn't answer the most important question. Why is it out of order? Why historically does the Sefer begin with the Chet HaMeraglim? It should have begun with the Chet HaEgel. The answer is simple. Number one, because Klal Yisrael at this moment are standing just about precisely in the same kind of circumstances, the same kind of conditions as 38 years earlier. They're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. This is the moment that brings to mind the tragedy that happened 38 years earlier. God forbid it shouldn't happen again. And not only that, you know the Meshech Chachma's letter that I quoted on a number of occasions, where the Meshech Chachma says there were two sins that the Jewish people committed in the desert: the sin of the Egel and the sin of the Meraglim. God forgave them the sin of the Egel. He did not forgive them the sin of the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu has to make sure that which was not forgiven will not happen again. That's the top of his agenda. It's the top of the agenda of a Moshe Rabbeinu who knows that he cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, but he's going to make sure that his people are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. He can wait to talk to them about the Egel. All of that can wait. But top item on the agenda is that sin for which they were never forgiven. Therefore, he begins Sefer Devarim with Chet HaEgel.
No.
Chet HaEgel.